Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. And this is an amazing scripture that I want to look at today. But before we get into the scripture, I think a lot of you probably know the song Amazing Grace. We've, of course, sung that modern version of that many times in our service. But if you were raised in church, you probably have heard the traditional version of Amazing Grace. The full title of the song in a lot of hymnals is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And if you know that song, you know that it is a declaration of the grace of God that we have in our life that brings in the presence of God in every circumstance of life. And not only in this life, but in the next. The final version of that traditional hymn, the final verse of that traditional hymn says, when we've been there, that is in heaven, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now, imagine, if you would, that we are with a person in the final moments of their life. I know that might not be the most pleasant image, but let's imagine a person is coming to the close of their life, and with their last breath, their final words, they say, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Now, if you know that song, then even though that's a sad moment as this person leaves this life, that can be a very heartwarming moment as well. That you know, if you know the song, that they are expressing confidence in the grace of God, and that the grace of God is with them, and that the grace of God gives them the promise of heaven, that they are looking to that last verse of that day when we will praise God in heaven. And so if you know the song, it becomes a very heartwarming moment in the midst of sadness. But imagine you didn't know that song. You have never heard the song Amazing Grace. You don't know a single lyric out of that song and didn't even know that that was a title of a song. Well, then that might be rather confusing to you. You might wonder, who's Grace? Are they calling for their wife, for their girlfriend? Are they recalling that this Grace person is an amazing person in their life? If they said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Well, what sound are they hearing? This poor guy must be delusional. He's hearing sounds as he leaves this world. Well, at least it's a sweet sound. And you would have no idea what the person was talking about. It would cause a great deal of confusion if you didn't know the song. But if you know the song, it really becomes a beautiful way of departing this world. Well, let's apply that to these words of Jesus. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It causes a lot of confusion. The people there at the time wondered if he was calling for Elijah. And they all stood around wondering if Elijah was going to come and save him. If you don't know what Jesus is saying, it becomes very confusing. A lot of people have looked at this verse and thought that the Father is turning his back on the Son, that God the Father has now abandoned and forsaken the Son. But this makes no sense at all, since there is the idea of the Trinity, that God the Father became the Son in the incarnation, or just the very fact that God is pure love, and God is not going to forsake that which he loves. So it makes no sense at all that the Father would turn his back on or forsake the Son. And so it causes a great deal of confusion unless you know that those words are the title of a song. The words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, are the words of a song that is found in Psalm 22. The 22nd Psalm is what Jesus is quoting. All the Psalms began as song lyrics. They were put to music and they were sung in the temple as worship songs. Psalm 22 is a worship song, like all the other Psalms. And the first line of Psalm 22 is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the first line of the song was always used as a song title, much as we do today with many songs. It's not uncommon for the first line, particularly with hymns and worship songs, the first line to be the title of the song. And that's the way it always was with the traditions of the Hebrews, that the song title was the first line of the song. If we know the song Jesus is quoting, it makes a huge difference in what he just said. He's giving the line of a song. Now, your homework for today, if you would, is go and read Psalm 22 at some point. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I think it would be interesting if you would take time to read that and see the crucifixion depicted in the psalm. I'm going to highlight a few verses. Verse 7 says, "All who seek me, mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." That's exactly the insults that they were casting upon Jesus as he was being crucified. Verse 14 says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint." One of the things that happens during a crucifixion, and I'm sorry if this is graphic, but very often in a crucifixion, bones do come out of joint. When they drop the cross into the hole, when they lift it up, it's very common for that to happen. Verse 16, "They pierce my hands and feet." That's pretty obvious that we're talking about crucifixion here in Psalm 22. "They divide my clothes," verse 18, "they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." You'll find that depicted in the Gospels as something the Roman soldiers did to Jesus, is they cast lots for his garment. In verse 24, the tone begins to change. "For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help." And as the psalm goes on, as the song continues, the end of the psalm goes like this. Verse 27, All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to people yet unborn, he has done it. The song is a song of victory. It is a song of suffering. It is a song describing the suffering of the crucifixion. But ultimately, it is a song declaring victory, that even people yet unborn, the future generations, will declare, he has done it. If you know that the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, are the words of a song title that every good Jewish person would know growing up in the temple singing that song, they would know that this is a prediction generations before of the crucifixion that Jesus is hearkening back to, and he is saying this is victory. That future generations, those yet unborn, will declare, he has done it. If you don't know that song, then those words of Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, are going to be very confusing. Certainly confused the people there at the time. They thought he was calling for Elijah. Many, many people have thought that God will turn his back on us. That's the way God will operate, that he even turned his back on Jesus. That's simply not the case. Those who knew the song would remember, this is a prediction of crucifixion. This describes the pain and suffering, and yet ultimately it is a declaration of victory that those yet unborn, future generations, will declare, he has done it. Even though it's a sad moment, a moment of great suffering, if we know the song, it becomes a heartwarming moment. It becomes a declaration of victory. This is what Jesus is doing for those who know the Hebrew scriptures. He's telling them, this is it. This is what was predicted. And this is the victory that I am bringing now and in for future generations, that everyone will say, he has done it. And that's what we do. We declare Jesus has done this. Jesus has overcome sin. And Jesus has provided for us his amazing grace in this world and to the next, in for our eternity in heaven, that he has done it. It's a plot twist that you only know if you know that the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, is the title of a song found in Psalm 22. It becomes this beautiful, heartwarming moment where Jesus declares victory. He's not condemning the Father as one who would abandon him. He is quoting a song that tells the story of the crucifixion many generations before. And so I think we need to hold to that. We need to hold to the reality that we can experience victory even in the midst of suffering. And so many in our world are suffering now. It's been very distressing to me as I watch the news reports from my home country in the U.S. and hundreds of thousands are predicted, between 100 and 200,000 people are predicted may die in the next 2 weeks. And that's just in one country. There's similar predictions in other places of the world. It is a terribly distressing, terribly difficult time that a lot of people are suffering. And so we don't deny the suffering. Psalm 22 describes the suffering. And yet, as people of faith, we hold to the ultimate victory. Not that the life will be easy, there is the suffering, but ultimately at the end we declare the amazing grace of Jesus in every situation, and we hear that sweet sound of his amazing grace. Jesus was not abandoned by the Father, and we are not abandoned by the Father in our times of difficulty and suffering, either as individuals or throughout the world during this difficult time. We are not abandoned by God. We suffer. It is difficult. But ultimately, there is the amazing grace and the victory that comes in Jesus. And that's why, as people of faith, we continue to pray together. We continue to know that God hears our prayers, that those words of abandonment that some may look at on the surface and think that God abandoned Jesus, and if he abandons Jesus, he may abandon us. Not the case. There's a deeper story when we know the song. And so I would encourage each of us in our prayers to understand the depth of the song that comes in Psalm 22, that yes, there's difficulty, but there is also great hope. There is also victory in Jesus, because we, as the future generations, now declare he has done it. He has given us his grace through his death and resurrection. Let's join together in a time of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we have victory, that we have hope, not because everything is okay, but in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulty and hardship, that we can hold to our faith and hold to a hope. It doesn't mean that things are easy. It doesn't mean that we always will feel good, but it means that you are always with us. You never abandon us, that ultimately we have victory that is in Jesus. We thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us this beautiful song that describes both suffering and victory. Let us, in the midst of hardship, know that victory, know that hope. We thank you that while this is often misunderstood, you do not turn your back on us. You do not abandon us in the midst of our suffering. You are with us. Help us see the depth of what Jesus declares here as he quotes this psalm, Psalm 22. Let us hold to that psalm. Let us hold to that same notion that you are with us always in the midst of difficulty. Let us know that, be reassured, and to hold to that hope as we, your people, lift our prayers to you.